19. Everyone agreed that the task of lugging a heavy chunk of rock would not be made easier by having the rock in question also be invisible. Luckily, Britt solved the problem by wrapping it in Martin's silver-sequined wizard robe. Now, instead of looking like empty space, the ore looked like a poorly made disco ball. The problem of the Dylawine's invisibility was solved easily. The problem of the sledge's invisibility was left unsolved, because they never even knew it had existed. Nobody had ever offered Philip's party the use of the sledge. They just saw it and chose to use it. Nobody offered the sledge to Britt's party, and they didn't see it. Martin tripped on it at one point, but chalked it up to his own clumsiness. So they didn't know it was an option. They spent some time puzzling over how they would transport the boulder. It was heavy, and its round shape offered no convenient handholds, forcing the carrier to hold its mass out away from their center of gravity. Gwen and Britt were both in fine shape, but neither of them would be described as large and muscular. Roy was well beyond his physical prime, and Martin was more the fast, wiry type, physically more suited to fleeing than to fighting, preferably doing either without carrying freight. They discussed balancing the Dylawine on a cushion on their heads, but they decided against it on the grounds that it seemed like a terrible idea. After a bit of debate, Britt and Gwen asked Martin and Roy if they could borrow their wizard staves. Gwen pawed through her backpack and came out with the sewing kit that Britt the Elder had supplied, presumably for mending clothes and stitching up wounds. Britt and Gwen silently unwrapped the Dylawine. Britt sat on it to help everyone remember where it was. Gwen tore Martin's robe into two parts. Martin knew that his robe had been pretty much superfluous ever since they'd arrived. It didn't serve any real purpose here, where he had no powers and where high visibility wasn't always desirable. Martin had worn it under his warm jacket, but he'd done so mainly out of affection for Gwen, who had made the robe in the first place. Still, it gave him a nasty jolt to see it destroyed, even if it was Gwen who was destroying it. Gwen looked up from her work and said,
"Don't worry, I'll make you a new one. A nicer one."
Roy said, "Yeah, maybe the new one will be gold instead of silver."
"Nah," Martin said. "Gold's too flashy. I'd stick with silver. But maybe the new one can have big shoulder pads and lapels, like a zoot suit?"
"Sure thing," Gwen said.
A little time and some industrious whip-stitching later, the Dylawine was rewrapped in part of Martin's former robe. The bust of Santo and the head of the bridge queue were placed in a backpack for safekeeping. The rest of the robe was sewn into a rough sling, 3 layers thick, strung between the two staffs, allowing any two relatively able-bodied adults to easily carry the heavy lump of rock as if it were Cleopatra. Roy whistled and said,
"Well done, ladies."
Britt said,
"Thanks, Roy."
Roy said,
"Martin and I'll take the first shift carrying the rock."
Britt said,
"I know."
With that, they were on their way. If actually carrying the weight of the rig Britt and Gwen made had done anything to dampen Roy's enthusiasm, he didn't let on.
"It's not just a good idea," Roy said. "It's really well executed, too. It feels solid. If anything's going to give out, it'll be my pool cue, but we can cross that bridge when we come to it."
Britt said,
"Thanks. I agree."
Roy was walking in front, holding the poles on his shoulders as he walked forward. Martin was bringing up the rear, with no choice but to look at the Dylawine and at the back of Roy's head.
"Good work, Roy," Martin thought. "You were genuinely complimentary, without being condescending. Now drop it."
Roy said,
"I shouldn't be surprised that it's well made. I mean, it's mainly sewn together."
Britt said,
"Yeah."
Martin thought,
"No, Roy, stop now. Are you saying it figures we'd be good at sewing because we're women?"
Britt asked.
"No," Roy said, "not at all. I've known plenty of women who wouldn't know what to do with a needle and thread."
Britt said,
"And I'm sure you've known plenty of men who could sew."
Roy said,
"Not really, but that's not my point. I shouldn't be surprised at the quality of the work because Gwen did it."
Martin nodded. Roy continued,
"And she's a seamstress."
Martin shook his head.
Gwen said, "I'm a designer, but I see what you mean.
I do all my own sewing. I know you meant it as a compliment.
Roy said, Good. I'm glad. I really do respect it. It's a highly technical skill.
Thank you, Gwen said.
Did you know? Roy forged on. That the space suits for the Gemini and Apollo missions were mostly made by women?
No, I didn't, Britt said.
Yeah, at a bra factory. Which figures?
Martin and Gwen winced at each other. Britt remained silent. Roy kept talking.
They had experience in sewing together multiple layers of synthetic fabrics.
Britt nodded and said,
Huh.
Roy said,
And they had nimble little fingers that...
Roy?
Britt interrupted.
I'm not offended.
Roy said, Good.
Britt continued.
So, this would be a good time to stop talking.
Roy cranked his head around to look at Gwen and Martin. The looks on their faces told him that Britt was right. Roy stopped talking. When Britt smirked at him, he knew he'd made the right decision. They walked until nightfall, taking bear duty in shifts, with the two non-load-bearing members of the team fending off the occasional tree wolf. At first, the height differential between Martin, the tallest of the men, and Britt, the shortest of the ladies, made carrying the litter awkward, but soon enough they got the hang of it. Early the next day, Martin was walking in the lead. Britt and Gwen were carrying the litter, and Roy was walking well behind, watching for wolves, and fighting the urge to offer to take one of the women's places. From her place at the rear of the litter, Gwen heard Britt mutter,
It's no good. What?
Gwen asked quietly, hoping to keep Martin and Roy from hearing.
What's no good?
Britt had been lost in thought, but snapped out of it, glanced back over her shoulder quickly, and said,
What? Oh, sorry, Gwen, it's nothing. So, nothing's no good,
Gwen said.
Splendid. That certainly makes sense.
Britt said,
Oh, I don't want to make a big deal. I'm just worried about Philip.
Gwen said,
Yeah? And the others?
Britt added hastily. Gwen smiled.
Britt, you and Philip are very close. You only really know Tyler, Jeff, and Gary through him, and none of us like Jimmy. It's only natural that you're more worried about something bad happening to Philip.
Britt shook her head.
That's not it. I mean, yes, I'm very worried in general that something awful is going to happen to him, them. That's not what I'm worried about right now. Right now I'm concerned that they're probably moving too fast.
Really?
Yeah, think about it. The wolves seem to attack in groups of at least two, right? And always in even numbers.
Yes, I guess.
And if we kill a number of wolves, then hang around long enough, twice as many wolves appear from where those wolves died, right?
Yeah. I think it's to give us incentive to keep moving.
Exactly,
Britt said.
I don't think Philip and the boys have been getting attacked by two wolves. I think they've been attacked by single wolves, and we've been getting two wolves because we're behind them. If that's true, they have five people, not four, fighting half as many wolves and soldiers as we are. They have to be moving faster than us.
Gwen said,
Yeah, makes sense.
So unless we start thinking of ways to speed things up, the only way we'll catch up to them is for something to happen that brings them to a stop. And if that happens, I'm not sure I want to catch up to them.
Not long after that, Martin yelled back to the group,
Whoa, hold up, we found something.
Britt and Gwen put down the litter, and they and Roy walked up to Martin, who was hunkered down on one knee, looking into the middle distance at something that seemed to puzzle him greatly. Gwen followed his gaze, and the breath caught in her throat. 100 feet or so ahead, four wolves were standing in front of a dark shape that was lying in the middle of the road. Roy muttered,
Oh no.
Martin said,
I know what you're thinking, but I'm pretty sure it's not a person. It's too small.
Then what is it?
Britt asked. Martin said,
Part of a person, maybe? I doubt it, though. There are only four wolves. It takes some doing, but any of us could take out four of these stupid wolves single-handedly.
After a moment's quiet contemplation, Martin said,
I'm going to get a closer look.
Gwen said,
It could be a trap.
I don't know, Martin said. Four angry wolves in a dark lump? That's not very good bait.
Roy said,
It's good enough that you want to get a closer look.
I'll be careful. Besides, it's in the middle of our path. We kind of have no choice.
Martin crept, sword drawn, toward the wolves. They made no move to intercept him, but they never took their eyes off of him either. Martin slowed his approach. The wolves watched. Martin was as close as he felt he could get without triggering the wolves' attack. He stood tall and leaned one way, then another, trying to see what the dark form was that they were guarding. He turned back to look at his companions, who were still standing in the path where he'd been. Martin shouted,
"I still can't tell what it is!"
"Thanks for the update,"
Gwen shouted back. Martin looked at the wolves. He knew there was only one way he was going to figure this out. He held his sword in front of himself and boldly stepped forward. As expected, one of the wolves growled, then leapt for his throat. Martin took the wolf out with little trouble and dispatched the next three wolves in turn. Once they were all gone, he approached the dark shape, afraid of what he might find. As the others approached, Martin poked at the shape with his sword. He nudged it harder. By the time they reached him, he was lifting it with his sword point. He reached out a hand, pulling the dark mass closer to his face, and after inspecting it for a second, he turned to the others and said,
"It's a cloak! Some kind of fur. Bear, I think."
Gwen took it from him and held it at arm's length.
"Ugh," she said. "It's awful."
Martin said,
"It might not look like much, but I bet it's powerful."
"Its smell certainly is,"
Britt said, wrinkling her nose. Martin took the cloak back, handling it as if it were priceless.
"Don't let looks and smells fool you. This is important."
Roy said, "Kid, it's just a dirty old hide, that's all."
"No, think about it, guys. We're on an epic quest. It's a dumb epic quest, but still, it's an epic quest. And we found an ancient-looking garment out in the middle of nowhere, being guarded by vicious animals. I'm telling you, this is important. We're supposed to do something with it."
"Yes," Britt said.
"Ignore it and leave it where it is." "I can't believe you all are against me on this. It's not practical to waste any resource in our position. And it's a fur. I thought women liked furs."
Roy said, "It's smelly and beat to hell. And we have all the coats we need. We have no use for it."
Britt added,
"And some women like nice furs, but we're not them, and that's not one. Besides, it's not so much the fur they like, it's the fact that their guy is willing to spend that much money on something completely impractical to try to make them happy. The same thing with diamonds and roses. The same cannot be said of filthy bear pelts you find laying on the ground."
Gwen said,
"And even if that were a nice fur, which it is not, it wouldn't really be something Britt or I cared about. Fur is murder."
"Especially that one," Britt said, "since we watched you kill four wolves to get it."
Martin rolled his eyes.
"Oh, come on! We all know they aren't real wolves."
"And that's probably not a real bear pelt,"
Roy added.
"Which is all the more reason to get rid of it," Britt said.
Martin sneered at them.
"I'm telling you, this thing is important. I'm keeping it, and it will eventually do something cool, and you'll all be glad I grabbed it. You'll see."
He draped the pelt over his shoulders with a flourish and took off down the path. The others shared a smile. Then Roy took his turn carrying the litter with Gwen, and they all followed. An hour later, eight wolves sprung from the fur while Martin was wearing it. Roy and Britt dropped the litter due to their excessive laughter. Afterward, they apologized to Martin and admitted that the fur had done something cool and that they were glad he had grabbed it.